Again, I want to say hello to everybody. I know we've got a lot of folks who are out of town for a lot of different reasons, and we look forward to them being back. It's kind of like the last shot at the end of the year is what it is for people with different kinds of vacations. But we're glad you're here this evening. And I hope Sean, I know he's making his trip I just made the first of last week. So I'm hoping he's going to be good to go on that. We need to remember him in our prayers. This, this little section of Acts, the first gospel sermon gave way to the first congregation, and it mentions some of the things that they did there. So tonight, this sermon tonight is kind of a launching kind of thing for some other things that we're going to talk about in subsequent weeks, not necessarily sequentially, but times down the road and things about that. But we're just going to remind ourselves. We're just going to remind ourselves why we're here, and I think that's really, really important. Why did God establish local congregations? Well, first of all, we're going to talk about why he did not. I mean, these are not the reasons why he established a local congregation, and that is, he didn't establish a local congregation so that we could take the Lord's Supper. We could have done that at home. I mean, you don't have to have a group of people to do that. I'm sure there's lots of different instances where people traveling and all kinds of circumstances in the last 2,000 years where there wasn't a congregation where people were engaged in doing this. He says where two or three are gathered together, so it just takes two, really in that sense to do that. So he really did not establish a local congregation for that reason, or so that we could study the Bible. I sure hope people read their Bible at other places than, when they're in a congregational setting. We all sing all the time. It's fun to hear the grandchildren sing. Katie was a big singer. I know, I'm glad she's not here tonight so I can say this. She would get her diaper, and that's it, and her white boots and my cowboy hat and a little bitty Bible, just a small little Bible, and she would stand on the fireplace and, sing her heart out. It was great, and she was really the big singer in our family. You don't need a congregation to do that. And, so all this is very obvious, just not so that we can pray. We pray all the time also with all of that. We can give. I know people do this. I know that people give under other circumstances and in other ways other than just what they put in the collection here in a congregational setting. So it's not for all these reasons. There are some other really good reasons why he's established a congregation. If you look at it in Ecclesiastes, there's so much wisdom in so many different places, and Ecclesiastes is certainly one of them. Verse 9 through verse 12 is just some of the things he says here. Because two are better than one, or two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. Have you ever tried to do a job by yourself, and, you're figuring out how long it's going to take you to do that, and then somebody comes and helps you, and you get done more than twice as fast? It's amazing how much faster it goes. I've been doing the fence building, not recently, but in the last few years, and I'm trying to get the one fence board up and get it in place and get the nail gun and all this stuff and balance all this and nail it, and then I got to turn around and get the other fence board, and Becky started helping me, and wow, it went a whole lot faster because she just holds it up there, and then here we go. Same thing's true spiritually. Exact same thing. It's true in so many different ways when you've got more than one person working. And we know how that is. Then continuing on. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls who has no one to help them. Have you ever been in that kind of situation or felt like you were in that kind of situation where you just didn't have anybody? I always feel bad for people who've lost their companion in life. You know, I talk to my dad every week, and he's had this inner ear trouble, and he's taking this medicine so that he can not be dizzy and fall down, but he sleeps all the time, and it's kind of making him depressed. And then, you know, my mom's death kind of anniversary is coming up, and that's on his mind. And he was talking to me about it this past week, you know. And I try to be the person for him, but I can't be, you know. And he loves the people at church, and they do help a great deal. I don't know what I would do without them. They feed him. He's always telling me about this chocolate cake that this one lady makes that she brings over all the time. Having someone, being lonely is not the same as being alone. And that's what that's talking about there with that. And that's obviously what's being discussed when we're talking about congregational things. And it says, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can somebody keep warm alone? Well, the coldest nights I've ever spent, I guess it is the coldest night I ever spent in my life, was up on a mountain elk hunting with Wes, of all people. And it was, we were in the back of a pickup truck, and there was a mattress on the bed of the truck, big thick mattress, and I was freezing. Had a 20-degree below sleeping bag, heated too, and we're just freezing. And so we kind of backed up to each other. You know, just a little bit, and that really did make a difference, a huge difference. It's the same kind of concept. In the bottom here, although one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and the cord of three strand is not quickly broken. I mean, that's just the way it is in life. That's the reason God did this. That's the reason why he wants to have congregations. And we could just say it like this. It's really, it's the basic point of what's going on in Hebrews chapter 10. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, so many times a preacher will talk about that, and he'll hammer away on, you've got to assemble. Yeah, that's what's going on there. That's exactly right. That's a good point. But just this, if you look at Hebrews chapter 10, 24 through 25, you'll notice that the whole point of assembling really doesn't have anything to do with worship in that sense of the word. He doesn't mention any of that. What he talks about is motivating one another to love and good works. Oh, the Hebrew Christians were in a tough time in history. They were in a tough time in their lives. They were being persecuted for being a Christian, and it was really easy to just go back to the law of Moses and they wouldn't be persecuted anymore. It just seemed like a real simple answer. But it was the wrong answer, because they'd lose their souls if they did. The whole book of Hebrews talks about that. So what he says is, don't forsake the assembling, you know, together. But what you need to do is you need to look at one another and try to help each other and motivate one another. So our first little point here is for mutual support. There are just a lot of times in people's lives when they need somebody standing beside them with their hand on their shoulder or with their hand in their hand or just saying encouraging words, you know. It's a very important thing, and that's what the Hebrews passage is all about. The purpose for assembling is to stir one another up to love and good works, to encourage and to exhort. And the reason is, there's a real danger when you're alone. In 1972, I got drafted. I was having a tough time spiritually in my life, and so I just didn't go to church. When I got drafted in the Army, I just quit for the most part. And I was stationed at Fort Knox, Kentucky, and then Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and then out here at Fort Ord, California. And I mean, I just didn't go to church almost at all. And I went to Fort Riley, Kansas, out in the middle of nowhere in Kansas. And it finally got to me, and I knew that I needed to congregate with my brethren. I needed to worship with other people. I needed to be with people. I desperately needed the encouragement. My life was headed in the wrong direction. Now, Now, if there were no congregations, that God had never established one, you know, if they just didn't exist, I don't know what would have happened to me, because I was already struggling. But I knew where I could go, where people would encourage me. And so, you know, I've told you this, I'd hitchhike 64 miles into Topeka, Kansas, and worship with the brethren there. And it made all the difference in the world to me. All the difference in the world. And there wasn't one single time that I had to hitchhike back or I had to take the bus back. Every single time, one of the brethren got me in their car and drove me back to the base at 64 miles, and then they drove from the base back home. I'll never forget that. I have thanked the Lord for those people just for 40 years now and what that meant to me. God knew what it meant to be a Christian. And he knows what it means to need to have people to support one another. So with all of that, it's for our children too. I mean, you get into this world and then you get married and all of a sudden you've got children and everything about your life changes. And everything about your concept about the importance of congregating changes too, rightfully so, because you want to give your children the best. You want them to have friends that have a Christian fundamental basis. You know, biggest problems I ever had in my life were the friends that I had. My dad forbade me one time to not have a friend. It was a guy that I had gone to elementary school with, junior high school. I was in high school. I'd known him all my life. And they said, don't be around him anymore. And they were right. This goes right back to what I was talking about this morning, when people do exactly what they wanted to do. And I defied them. But they were 100% right about that. I needed the friends that were good Christian friends. And that's what a congregation provides. So this mutual support system that goes on with this. And what it does is you have people, we've got people in this congregation. They really don't have any family. You know, Jesus talks about leaving father and mother and sister and brother and all like that. That'll have a hundredfold. And it's not just in heaven, but it's also what people get who really are alone. And they get to get that with a congregation. I tell you, that's one of the reasons why God did this. So what that, you know, that kind of does for us is, yes, that's a great thing, and so we need to be a friend. We need to pursue being a friend. We need to actively be a friend. We need to think about these people who didn't grow up in a congregation. They don't have family here. They're just kind of here alone. We need to make sure that we pursue them to support them, to be the kind of support that they ought to have as a Christian and as Christian friends. The second thing is just talking about helping other people. We need to make certain that we have our love going out from us and not be self-centered and not be self-indulgent. And I don't mean this mean at all. I hope you know that I don't mean this mean. But when you have a congregation where people have literally grown up together from the time that they were born, you know, and they know each other so well, and they're such close friends, they do everything together, they have everything in common, and so that's who you're going to talk to after services. That's kind of who your life revolves around. But there are other people who probably could benefit greatly from you maybe not talking to this friend that you've had for 40 years, and you go over and talk to them a little bit. I'm just going to use this illustration, and I don't, you know what I mean by this. It's just merely an illustration. This side of the room needs to talk to this side of the room. and vice versa too. It's awesome when our young people are so excited about one another, and rightfully so, but all of us need to be excited about each other. That's really, really important. That's why we're here. That's why God established a local congregation. It wasn't so that, you know, a 15 or 16-year-old is going to spend all their time talking to an 86-year-old. But you'd think that somewhere along the line, the 15-year-old would be taught enough or know enough or say enough to say something to the 86-year-old. Just mutually involving each other in conversation in their lives. And when I say self-indulgent or self-centered, this is not, you know, just being horribly selfish. It's just exactly what I'm talking about. It's, you have your friends and you have your age group and you have your likes and you have all of your things like that, and that's okay on that level, but we gotta make sure that we're not stuck there, because there's other people in this congregation. There are other people. All right. I say that especially since I turned 60. You know, you get to some age and you think, oh, I'm not a young person anymore. The scriptures are just constantly talking about family. They're constantly talking about brotherly love. And when we talk about our love needs to be this brotherly love and our love needs to be this family love, that we do have that. I mean, we really do have that. I'm just kind of trying to capitalize on maybe a deeper expression of that with us. It's important that we not think about ourselves, but we think about other people. If you think about the Hebrew passage and the Hebrew circumstances, when he says that about assembling, he says, consider one another. Think about other people, how to motivate them, how to inspire them, how to make them feel better about themselves. And it's not something that just, you know, comes without any forethought. You have to think about them a little bit, which is a great part of that. Now, the problem, kinda, with this is, unfortunately, some Christians never get to this point because they think that a worship service is where they, or a church service is where they go to worship or to have their needs attended to. And we kind of talked about this the other week. Their idea is, I'm not meaning this in a harsh kind of way, but they walk in the door and it's all about the worship service, right? It's all about the worship service. It's all about the singing. It's all about the praying. It's all about the preaching. And all of these other things that we've already said that come from Hebrews chapter 10 really don't even, that never enters people's minds. Ever. That's just, that really kind of has nothing to do with any of this. And it's a mistake to think that the local church exists so that we can attend a worship service or that we can have our needs attended. I know you know this. I know you know the answer to this before I ask it. But if you find somebody who is completely swallowed up in sorrow about themselves and their circumstances and their problems and their this and their that, what is the best advice you could ever give them? Go help somebody else. It gets their mind off their problems. It gets their mind off of all of these things that they're so consumed with. And it gets their mind on somebody else, and rightfully so. That's what worship service has been assigned to do, is for us to get our minds off ourselves and on other people. The people who only attend miss out practicing this kind of brotherly love. And I preached this sermon, and I said when I preached this sermon, and I can't remember how many weeks ago it was, a few weeks ago, on those three basic needs, I said everybody has three basic needs, to belong, to feel like you belong, and to have a sense of worth and have a sense of competence. And we talked about, at that sermon, we talked about everybody intermingling and talking to each other And I said, I'm going to bring this up later, so I'm bringing it up now. Did we get the point on that sermon? You know, or are we still talking only to our friends, close friends, our age group? All right. Third thing that has to do with a congregational responsibility is God's work. God wants us to work together because His work is too big, really, to do by ourselves. It requires too many talents for just one particular person to actually be totally successful in that. I am not a good teacher for four-year-olds. I've tried it, and I'm not good at all. I don't know if it's genetic, you know, whatever, but I'm not. But there are ladies in this congregation that are just outstanding at that. And so for people in particular places in their family life and in their personal life and in all of this, the work that God wants us to do is done more effectively, without a doubt, in a congregational setting with this. And Romans chapter 12 talks about in your ministering and all these different things in that particular context. And Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the gifts that were given to men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, you know, all of that. I mean, the Bible talks about all of this. And it talks about it from that congregational point of view. And then unity, a united front for our witness to lost people. Congregations of people. I mean, that's what you read about in the New Testament, right? You read about congregations of people and the witness that those congregations gave to people who didn't believe in God. God knew that we would be more successful in saving souls if we have a united front instead of solely having individuals, because what you have is you have a collective witness. And it's not about a powerful organization. It's about a group of people that are identifiable that believe. This Thessalonians passage, he talks about your faith has gone out so that all in Macedonia, all these people in all these different places know who you are. And it wasn't individual people. It was this congregational group of people that he mentions as he talks about that. We don't need a powerful organization to get God's word out. We need congregations of people who believe, seriously believe, and are willing to trust God's word in the truthfulness of God's word, in presenting that and living that in front of other folks. So that really is, I think, tremendously important. And then lastly, it takes time, and we all don't have that much time in our life. People have to work, they have to put food on the table for their family, they have all of these different responsibilities, and so when you put people together and you're able to pool the amount of free time that you do have, and you're able to pool the money that you have, oh, it makes a big difference, which is one of the reasons why God did this also. God knew that the spreading of the gospel would be time-consuming and expensive, and therefore had Christians pool their resources to be able to do that. Paul in Philippians talks about how time and again they had pooled their resources, and they had sent those resources to Paul for Paul to do this particular work. And it is time-consuming, and it can be expensive. But it's one of those things where the serious concern for lost souls puts us in a place where we're willing to take that time and we're willing to bear the burden of that expense. So there's just lots of reasons why God has this whole idea that he has in mind about local congregations and what goes on there with that. So you've got mutual support, you've got helping others, you've got the magnitude of God's work, you've got unity for the lost, and you've got time and expense for the Those are five really, really important reasons why we have local congregations. and that God wants us to work together in that particular kind of way. All right, this is real simple. I know you knew this already, but I offer this to you as a beginning thought, as we say, for some more things that we're going to consider that really have to do with leadership. Okay, we've got this set here. How's all this going to get done? Somebody's going to need to lead us in this path. We're going to have to accept these responsibilities, and then we're going to need to have leadership in this area, which we do, and we're going to talk about those particular aspects at other times. All right, so we're going to sing this song at our close of our sermon, our observations tonight. Might be somebody here who'd like to become a Christian. We can take care of that. You can become God's child. And if we can pray for you, come to the front while we stand and sing.